Christ on earth as a tremendous responsibility as far as the week or daily running of the church is concerned. You're all aware that we have been asked, and you're pleased, to try and elect two additional elders for the congregation here to strengthen the eldership. And we want to do things in the way that they're done in the Bible, and that is the way that the Lord had it done. And we do understand that you know that elders then have a responsibility for the spiritual oversight of the church, and that's a big thing. And also for the minister, when people are unwell, to go and see them. And if they're in hospital and if we're allowed to go at all, to go and be with them. And then in other things in the church as well, we have to do all of that. And the daily running of the church is for, we want to build each other up and to encourage each other and strengthen each other. And very often the Lord strengthens us by encouraging us. When you're encouraged, you're strengthened. And that is what we do. But the church has a tremendous responsibility to be a light in a dark place, to be a witness among those who don't know the Lord, and to seek to be as bright as we possibly can for Him. One time, just a few years ago, I was up at a place called, some of you may have heard of it, called Tomaten. It's at the far side of the Monolith Mountains in Scotland, up near, well, it's not at Inverness, at Tomaten. It's there where the Finhorn River runs into the sea. And it's up that area. It's the only time I've ever seen golden eagles hunting before and had the opportunity to do that. But more of interest to me even than that was down in Tomaten. There was a little hall, and it was all grown up and hadn't been used for years and years. And yet there was this sign outside it, their board, I suppose you could call it, and there was a Trinitarian Bible Society verse on it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And while I felt sad at the thought, well, there was a wee witness and nobody comes anymore and the doors closed, the word of God was still there and still being a witness for Him. What I'm really saying, folks, is that the church, while we look after each other, we try to build each other up, we're not to be spectators in all of the things that have to be done. Now, you think of the Bible. I want you to think of Samson and what Samson did with the jawbone of a donkey. What did he do? He had a huge task before him, and he gave what he had to the Lord. What about Othniel? You read about him in Judges chapter 3, the first judge of Israel. He was a courageous soldier, there's no doubt about that, and a brave man and capable, but that wasn't the reason why he was able to deliver. That chapter in verse 10 of Judges chapter 3, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That was the secret. That was Samson's secret. And that will be your secret. And my secret too. If we seek to do what we can for the Lord. You read there in the book of Ephesians about being filled with the Spirit. That is given to us in the form of a command. It's not something you might think about doing sometime, but it's something that we're commanded to do for every Christian all the time, to do that. Now, I know that for our upcoming election, men may naturally think, well, I'm not capable to do this. I understand all of that. I'm not capable to do this, and I can't be as good. And what if people don't like me as much as I? We know all those things, but the Spirit of the Lord will make the difference, men, if there's men elected to the session. And that has made the difference for God's people all down through the years. And you know, at this time of the year, when we're usually commencing all of our meetings and men's fellowship, ladies, and Sunday school, and all of those things, we always try to bring a message or two to you that will encourage you as we go into the autumn work. And we want to do that this morning. Just give God what you do have. Don't be worrying, please, about what you don't have or what you can't do or who's a better speaker than you or about those things. Give God what you do have now, because our text this morning is in verse 30, where it says there in Proverbs 11, he that winneth souls is wise. And you may never And I trust you do, but you may never have the opportunity of personally praying with someone and leading them to the Lord. But you're linking the chain. You're linking the chain in whatever you do. And therefore, all of us can just come and give the Lord whatever we have. You're able to pray. Everybody can give the Lord that. There are plenty of people here who can do other things. And you're able to give the Lord that as well. Not what you think you might have, but what you have now. So first of all, as we consider here, just give God what you do have now. There is the preparing of our hearts. The preparing of our hearts. The best example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And how he dealt with men and women in adverse circumstances and sometimes very complex situations. And he was able to deal with them. And we can certainly draw lessons from his life. We can never compare with him. But we can draw lessons from how he sought to win men and what there was with him. Well, first of all, there is the thought of confidence. Confidence. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't arrogant. But when he spoke clearly. No man spake like this man. That's what the Bible says. He spoke clearly and confidently and assuredly to men and women that he was speaking to. And right away, that's where you and I will perhaps pull back and say, well, I don't have any confidence. Again, I understand that. Naturally, many of us don't depend much upon what we feel we can do ourselves. In 1 Timothy, and I'm going to read to you chapter 1 and verse 12. Apostle here is writing. In verse 11, he's writing, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And that's what has been given to us. The gospel has been committed to our trust. And as years come and go, you and I have the light, we have the opportunity, and all around us there is the need. And therefore, we are those to whom the gospel has been committed. And then he says in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul was a mighty man, but he acknowledges here that it was the Lord that enabled him. Now, there were people who were involved in ministries that wouldn't have suited him. The like of John and the Barnabas had a different ministry. He was a great encourager. But Paul, he's just thanking the Lord for taking what he had. He was a wretch, terrorist. But he come to the Lord and was saved. And then when he said to the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That wasn't just some sort of an emotional, momentary thought. He meant it. He meant it. And the Lord enabled him, the Lord put him into the ministry, and the Lord made him what he was. Over in the book of Philippians as well, and chapter 4. And verse 13, he says here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, you didn't look at the previous verse. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's saying, I'm there with the gospel no matter what. And he says here, I've been instructed. Do you see where it says there, I am instructed? That word literally means, in the original language, it means let into the secret. I'm let into the secret how to be full and how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. How to be steadfast in that ministry that he was talking about that the Lord had put him into. Sometimes lots of people were converted and listened to him, and other times they tried to kill him. So it was up and down with him, and as it is in every country. At the moment, it's generally down. I have to say that. They're hearing so few reports of people being converted, especially adults. And Paul was able to say here, I am instructed, I'm let into the secret. And the secret is in verse 13. I can do all things, or all things that I'm sent to do through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, if you look at it back just a chapter or two there, to chapter 2 in Philippians, and verse 12. He's telling the Christians here at the end of verse 12, yes, they're relying totally on the Lord. And even in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And then he goes into those lovely verses, verses 7 and 8, regarding the humility of Christ. But he says here in verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's saying here, the words work out there refers to working out that which is already. Be at your best. You feel you're nothing. But knowing this help that I've been going to talk to you about later on, and that I'm just come as you are and give the Lord what you do have now, and then try to improve. Try to go on and to continue to do what you're doing there for the Lord. So you see here that Paul wasn't a man, or Timothy certainly wasn't a man, who naturally had lots of confidence. Certainly Timothy was not a man. In fact, we feel that it was lack of confidence that had him pulled back at the time. And the apostle had to say to him, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. In other words, Timothy, you know, you can't look to yourself. You need to look to the Lord for this. So preparing of our hearts, we will need confidence. But brethren and sisters, we will have to look outside ourselves. We will have to be fit men and women who are filled with the Spirit. And we're working and as Richard and I were saying this morning, just we're working in a situation that we never dreamt would be in. Half a year's gone, and we're very, very thankful for what we do have, but the things that we want to do, we simply can't do them all at the moment. We can't do them all at the moment, and we don't know what the future holds either. But our confidence is in him. And for you and I today, I simply want to say, if you want to be those who's given the Lord what you do have now, you'll need confidence. Look to him. Look to him. But also, we will need to have a conviction concerning what we do. The Lord has commissioned his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or as it reads, all who are capable of receiving it. That's a lot. And that is what you and I need to be convicted about. I'm sure, like myself, I know that some of you have been on the coast and you've been out a little bit, maybe over the summertime, a day on the seaside or whatever the case might be. And there's lovely things to see all there, but you can't ignore the crowds of people. When I say that, you look at them and you wonder. You think, you know, what about their soul? See those people going along there and they seem to be just getting on with life. I wonder, are they saved? Matthew Murray McShane, when he was, and we spoke about him a few weeks ago here in the church, about his life, but he was going down the street, I think it was with his mother, and even when he was a young boy, he heard all the footsteps of the bigger people walking past, and he said he couldn't help but think, even as a young person, he couldn't help but think of men and women tramping their way to hell. And I'm sure you're the same Christian, and you have that conviction that men and women need the Lord. Again, I think I mentioned this to you when I was up in Scotland at that particular time and told you about that little hall that was all grown over, but the sign was still there. On up near the mirror, there was part of, I can't remember the name of the estate, there's a big country estate anyway, but just as there was a wee lane down into part of that estate on the mirror, there's a big rock, a big maybe 8 foot by maybe 4 or 5 foot high, and it simply said on it, Jesus saves. And it was all freshly painted and looked after. So obviously, whoever owned the estate, and I did hear the name, but I can't remember, whoever owned the estate had given permission for that to be kept in good condition. It was like, it was all freshly, nice and freshly painted. Big, massive sign. And I thought of all the people who were coming to that estate to hunt for deer, to fish the River Findhorn, to shoot grouse, to see the buildings themselves. There's some very historical buildings around there. People from all over Europe, lots and lots of Americans, scores of people from the southern part of mainland Britain, and people from Northern Ireland as well. And there it was, Jesus saves. Somebody around there somewhere had gone to the estate. If it wasn't the estate themselves, I can't say for sure. But they'd gone probably and said, can I write this on that stone? And they got permission to do it. Why would they go to the bother and do that? Because they have the conviction that men and women who are passing that way need the Lord. And we could all ask the Lord to give us a real conviction. A real conviction that we need to reach out to men and women. We need confidence, we need conviction, but folks, we need compassion. We need compassion for the souls of men and women. And you think of the Lord, this is where he comes in. Of course, we can't have the compassion that he had, but we can have compassion for souls. Over there in Matthew 9 and verse 36, it's talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They actually were as sheep having no shepherd. And folks, you and I, as Christian men and women, we ought to ask the Lord often to give us compassion. We hate the sin, but we need to love the sinner. One day last year, when Cherith and I and the three younger boys were coming down from Ballycastle end down the coast that way, there's one of the little towns there, and I can't remember which one it was, but it was the one. It was one of the ones, and it would be mostly, and this is not, I don't preach politics, and you know that, it would be mostly nationalists that lived there. And when we were coming through, right under an Irish tricolour, it was up there, and over here, there was a group of people having an open air. In my opinion, they were brethren people, and we did hear part of what they were saying, because we had stopped, and they were preaching the word. And they'd gone in there. Now, I'm not suggesting in any way that you do something foolish. We need to be careful, because we're dealing with people's safety here. But they were there, and there were people listening to them right beneath the Irish tricolour. I'm sure they didn't love the thought of the tricolour being there. And there are many other things they didn't like. But the compassion for the souls of men and women. I think it's Philippians 3. Where it says over there, again, it's good to read about the like of the Apostle Paul and to learn from him something of the great compassion that they had. In Philippians chapter 3, he says there, and he, of course, he is a saved man. He says, yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and can count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This verse summarizes, that verse 9 summarizes the book of Romans. Take a look at it again and read it yourself. And he says this is what he is so thankful for. And if you look also through this book of Philippians, excuse me, you will see that he shows the great desire that he had for his fellow countrymen. The great love that he had that they would know the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we've all loved ones who are not saved, and we need to pray for them. And we need to be those who, even at the start of now, at the start of the year, preparing our own hearts. It's easy just to go on and to look after. We have to look after certain things. That's right, of course. But we want to be men and women who are coming to the Lord and saying, here's all my inability, but I'm giving it to you. That's what Samson did. That's what Othniel did. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Very, very evidently, that is what Timothy did. He gave it all to the Lord and said, here, you take what I do have. You remember the Lord when he asked for the lads, 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. It was a joke for those standing around. The Lord took it and fed everybody, and there's 12 baskets full left over. Christian, please do not get to that point where you feel you have nothing to offer. Remember what Paul said, I can do all things, or all things that I'm sent to do through Christ which strengtheneth me. The final thought is here, we want to have commitment. Commitment means stability, and certainly that is something which we want to have. Earnestness is important, and zeal, and compassion, and care, but care and commitment, and that is part of Well, I don't know why that we hall over in Scotland closed. I don't know why. But I was sad to see it closed. And the grass was growing halfway up the door. It had been closed for a few years at least. And the lovely sign outside it, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So may we help the Lord. Ask the Lord to help us all to prepare our hearts. But not just the preparing of our hearts. There is the prompting of us. The prompting of us. God the Holy Spirit needs to take a dealing with me. And with you. If we're going to, well, I'll just tell you as it is. If we're going to bother, he needs to prompt us and give us a real burden for souls and prompt us to go and to, in certain circumstances, prompt us to go and perhaps witness to someone. Maybe takes us a wee bit out of our comfort zone. But we know the need is there. Over in the book of Acts and chapter 8, in verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." In other words, leave where you are here, where there's, you're preaching the gospel in Samaria here. There's plenty of people being saved. Just you go to the wilderness. Not but too much applause there for you. You mightn't see anybody one to the Lord, but that's where I want you to go. And Philip did it. He did it. And he arose and he went, and we know that he went down there. And in God's providence, everything came together perfectly that he would meet with the Ethiopian eunuch. And that man would be saved. And Christian, as you and I seek to walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit urges us. Just as he guided him, he can guide you and guide me. Openings in everyday life. In the routine of life, suddenly, and you're a man or woman who's thinking much about the Lord during the day and the need, and you know there's an opportunity there, there's a need there, and the Lord would say to your heart, maybe, could you not witness to that man now? Or get a word in there for that woman now, and impressing upon our hearts a real desire to go and to witness to. And that's what we need to pray for as well, because if we're not men and women that are spirit-filled, then we won't care. We find ourselves becoming materialistic, and that's not a criticism, it's just a fact. Becoming materialistic, and we will judge, before we know it, things will mean everything. And we'll not have the compassion for the lost that we can have. But we need the Holy Spirit, and this reminds us, of course, of the importance of being filled with the Spirit. Importance of being men and women who are in prayer. The Holy Spirit urges us, and the other thought here is, under this prompting, he prompts us because the need is urgent. You know, one day during this past wee while there, I went away for a drive around Derry Lee. Some of you know where that is. And it was where my dad was reared and where my granny and granddad used to live. They lived down in the house there. It wasn't their house, but I remember going to it as a boy. And it was absolutely huge when you're about 5 or 6. And across the road from that house, there used to be an open air on the back of a lorry, a big rally every year with Dr. Paisley preaching there. And I remember as a boy going there and to that sometimes. But I remember I came through Derry Lee for a drive and up into Annaghmore, where I come from. And folks, I know a lot of the houses. And I knew a lot of the people. It's absolutely astounding how many of them are gone. Astounding. Even since I went to England 20 years ago. Astounded at whenever the many houses, I remember them all. And so many are gone. The case is urgent. Need to reach men now. Need to reach men and women now in our workplace or wherever it happens to be. And that brings me to my third and final thought. There's just the preparing of our hearts. Giving the Lord what we have and saying, here Lord, take me. And nothing. Good to always remember that. But not to back into the corner. To give it to the Lord. Like Samson, like Othniel, like Paul, like Timothy. Just give it to the Lord and say, Lord, here. I'll do what I can. Can't do everything. And I don't want to do anybody else's work. I want my own ministry and my own work. Wherever it is in God's work, I'll do it if you will help me. And brethren and sisters, there's nothing better to be doing. Bring joy to your heart. as you seek to live in that way. The preparing of our own heart, the prompting of us, it's the Holy Spirit. And then there is the places. Again, that really ties in with the prompting of us, because the Lord knows where the places are. The first place is home and among our loved ones. And all of us know from experience that our loved ones can be the hardest to witness to. Remember, a lady one time was giving her testimony many years ago, and she was telling of her life and how she had had no time for God, and but she had an aunt called Daphne, and her aunt Daphne was very fond of her, and her aunt Daphne lived very well before her, but she also spoke to her sometimes when she was a little girl about the Lord, and she also said that Daphne was never forceful, but she always came along many times, and she would say to her, "You know, you're young, but you need to be saved. You need the Lord Jesus in your heart," and things like that to her. And she said, "So I can tell all of you tonight in the meeting that I was saved through Aunt Daphne's life." That was a good testimony for Daphne to have. I was saved through Aunt Daphne's life. And our loved ones, they're watching. Some of them are hard, and that is where we start. We start with them. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. Remember, I think I drew your attention to this chapter the other week. It was the demoniac of Gadara. Someone jokingly one time said, "The demoniac of Gadara." I said, don't you let any of the congregation there hear you talking like that. But the demoniac of Gadara, and the Lord had saved him. And look what it said. Isn't it great in verse 8? It says, "And when he come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." He wanted to go with the Lord. What a positive sign that a real work had been done. He wanted to go on with the Lord. "Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." In other words, start at home. And that's the hardest place, folks, among our loved ones. Start at home and make much of what you now have. That's what this man was, a renowned Turoe. They couldn't do anything with him. Make much of what you now have. Make much of Christ. Tell him there, it says, the great things he has done for you and hath had compassion on thee. There's no better thing, no greater thing to sit down or to stand even talking to our brothers or sisters or our aunts or someone in our family, telling them that what the Lord has done for us and what he can do for us. I know it's not easy, and we're praying for the opportunity to do that, and I'm sure you have done it. I have done it. Sometimes people didn't listen. They didn't want me to do it. I knew that after I'd done it. But nonetheless, the case is very urgent. And the places are number one at home. Then what about those out round about? Those round about. It was said of John Wesley that there was one day, I think he went through a stage of, I don't know how long it was. It was weeks or months of leading at least one soul to the Lord every single day. Now, those days are not with us now, but that's what he did. And one day, the day was nearly over, so he hadn't led anybody to the Lord. So he ran out into the street, and he stopped someone walking down the street, and he said, "Excuse me." And he started talking to them about the Lord and led them to the Lord in the street. Unique days, a unique man, greatly used of the Lord. But folks, you know plenty. And I know plenty outside our family. And they're just sinning their lives away. And just as I drove past all those houses, actually quite a lot of those houses were houses that were occupied by relatives of mine, my uncles, they're all gone. And one day, the friends, their house will be empty too. So this is a very urgent thing, that we take what we have and we give it to the Lord. And the title is, just give the Lord what you have now. Just give the Lord what you do have now. And therefore, it's important that we're always seeking the will of the Lord for our lives, where the Lord has placed us. He is you in your workplace. And maybe sometimes you think, why would the Lord put me here? It's so hard. I'm hearing all this language and I don't know what to do. Well, he is you there. If sometime you were to move on from there, you can look back and say, well, I gave the Lord what I had. And I was just ordinary, but the Lord used me. And the Lord helped me there to share the gospel with men and women. I trust today that the Lord will impress these few thoughts upon your hearts. As we do go into the winter, and God willing, sometime not too far away, we will have good news about being able to do other things. We would love to be able to have some kind of Sunday school relatively soon. Speaking to one of my friends, an elder in Lisburn there the other day for a good while, and just don't know what he's going to do. And there's a lot of places the same. They don't know what they're going to do. But we're going to have to look to the Lord and trust that things will open up, that we can get the meetings going again. But whatever happens this autumn and this winter, let us be those who take on board these words in Proverbs chapter 11. He that winneth souls is wise. And therefore let us take whatever we have, whatever we are, with all our faults and our imperfections, and maybe we get it wrong sometimes, or we've got it wrong in the past, we said the wrong thing. That's okay, just leave it there. Leave it in the past. But take what we have now and say, Lord, here, take it. Take it and do what you can with me. I do trust the Lord will bless his word to your heart. We're just a wee